In the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our discussion on the Sabbath. Yeah, yeah. I think having defined the type of works based on the Bible, I'm not saying that mine is 100% accurate. Okay? This is only for your reference. But again, when we talk about keeping the Sabbath, the spirit or the essence of keeping the Sabbath must be brought to light. I think that is very important. Yeah, that's why we have to refer to Isaiah. It's the two verses we have read. Yeah. I think that is very important. I think if you are godly, yeah, if you are godly, if you fear the Lord and if you love God, yeah, then you will do your best to observe the Sabbath to enter into the rest of God. Alright. I think this one is quite marvelous, yeah, because Isaiah was moved by God to talk about this. Yeah, the two verses we have read in Isaiah chapter 58. Yeah. I think this should serve as the principle in keeping the Sabbath, right? In keeping the Sabbath. Okay, you can have a different set of rules or whatever to govern a person, not to violate the Sabbath. But if the heart is not purified, is not transformed, then we find that keeping the Sabbath is more a burden than joy. Is that not so? Yeah. So it all springs from within the heart. I think that is very important. So I think if we love God and if we really the want to worship God, then it has to come from within, right? And it has to come from within. Okay, now I think I want to talk a bit about I do not know much, yeah, but I want to give you a rough idea of why in the time of Jesus as raised by one of our sisters here, yeah, it seems that Sister Yumi, yeah, seems that during the time of Jesus, yeah, so many types of law, put it this way, different classes of court have been stipulated, yeah, by the rabbis and scribes or whatever. Right? Now we know that, as I mentioned, yeah, after their nation was destroyed, either by the Assyrians or the Babylonians, okay, after the comeback, especially the restoration of the nation of Israel, they realized that one of the main reasons for them to be captured was because of their violation of the commandments, the Sabbath commandments. That was one of the main reasons. Now, having understood that, we find that they began to define the law very strictly. Okay, they tried to define different types of works. You know, what kind of works can be done and what kind of works cannot be done. And as a result, yeah, we see that they missed out most of the purpose or purposes of keeping the Sabbath. So we find that keeping the Sabbath became a burden more than joy. And this morning, if you have time, you can go and read Zondervan or Zondervan, whatever, okay, Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Here it defined. The religious code regarding the Sabbath listed 39 principal classes of prohibited actions by the Jews. Yeah, they have 39 classes. Okay, now they have listed down things like sowing, reaping, winnowing, cleansing, grinding, sifting, kneading, baking. You know what kind of things that constitute works of labor. Right? I just give you a few examples. Yeah, now we see that they have gone so far extreme, yeah, to an extent that. On the Sabbath, when we talk about plowing, okay. Now, if you spit on the ground or on the soil, it can constitute a kind of plowing. They say, why? Because your spittle disturbed the soil. Silly, isn't it? Yeah. So we can see that it becomes so stringent and strict. Huh? Now, the other example is that if you write with either your left hand or right hand more than two letters, that is a guilt on the Sabbath. That's a guilt. You know, because they said you write that constitute a kind of work. Okay? This is the second example. And the third example that I got is, yeah, and this one is even more unreasonable. If you walk across a field, yeah, and you may be guilty of threshing. Why? Because by walking on the grass, you may bend and you may broken some of them. You know what I'm saying? And they said that constitute a kind of work, right? So we can see that it becomes very, very stringent. Right? Now, even in modern days, we find that if your house is on fire, you cannot carry your clothing or whatever, your possession, out of the house on the Sabbath. But it's okay for you to put them on. This is the idea. I got it from Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary. Okay? So we find that it becomes very stringent. So when you come to the gospel, most of the things that the scribes and Pharisees were talking about actually were not from one. The law of Moses. They were not. They redefined the idea of work, yeah, concerning the Sabbath. That's why we find that there are so many conflicts and arguments, yeah, in the gospel, right, because of this inaccurate definition of works. Alright? This is a rough idea. Okay, so when Jesus came to this world, and we see that he performed certain work on the Sabbath, and his intention was not to violate the commandments of God. Rather, we find that by doing so, he brought out the essence of keeping the Sabbath. Right? He wanted us to know exactly how we should keep the Sabbath, so that we can obtain blessing from it. Right? So it's not that Jesus came into this world to abolish the Sabbath. No, no such thing. Okay? Okay, any questions before I go on? Any further questions?
So I guess, can you interpret that one?
Yeah, religious work. You know, I categorize the work into three because it's easier for us to look at them, to know exactly, you know, which category of work that we do belongs. You know what I'm saying? But it's only for a reference, as I said. This is not absolute truth. It's not. Any more questions before I go on? I still got quite a number of things to do. Legalism. Okay. Okay. What if someone comes to you? Yeah. What if someone comes to you and tell you that, look, the law has been abolished, or has been fulfilled. That's why today we don't need to keep the commandments anymore. How will you answer the questions? But okay.
But that does not mean that.
Okay, in relation to Sabbath keeping, how can we raise the standard? Sisters, otherwise I go on talking. You have not been listening. I think if I understand it correctly, to fulfill means to fill it up. Yeah, to fill it up. Yeah. But I thought the Bible said it has been fulfilled. Come to fulfill.
The laws are not.
Okay, imagine that. Okay, now imagine that I'm a truth seeker. Yeah? I'm a truth seeker. So I come to you. Hey, friend, look. The law has been fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill.
So does it mean that you don't need to keep it anymore?
Yeah, it's fulfilled. It's filled up.
You don't need to keep the Ten Commandments anymore?
Yeah, I think so.
But it's fine.
So good luck. Because you don't need to worship one true God, right?
Don't send them to Africa.
I'll never come back to True Jesus Church again. Now we answer the questions. I think we turn to, what is that? Matthew, yeah? Matthew 5? 5 verse 17 and 18, yeah. I'm still a truth seeker. I remain a truth seeker, yeah, for the time being. Okay, verse 17 and 18. Do not think that I came to destroy the law, all the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Okay, 18. For surely I said to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law. The all is fulfilled. So, Brother Patrick, So you said that this law refers to the ordinances, statutes, testimony, stuff like that? It's not the actual Ten Commandments? Okay, I have a question, yeah? Have the law been abolished or have the law been fulfilled? Fulfilled or abolished?
Fulfilled.
How? By being crucified on the cross.
Yeah.
Eh?
Okay.
Sister, I don't really get you. Sorry. I'm very slow here up here, sorry. I'm very slow, sorry. I didn't get you, sorry. I'm very slow. Okay, how does that tie into the fulfillment of the law?
So I guess, yeah, when Jesus comes, right? I guess we are no longer under the... Sorry, what's the question?
Halfway through our discussion, we forgot our questions. No, my question is very simple, okay? I think we need to explain it a bit... more accurate, put it this way. Has the law been fulfilled or has the law been abolished? That's my question.
Fulfilled.
Okay. How is the law fulfilled? How? If the law is fulfilled, do we need to keep the commandments?
Yes.
Only Ten Commandments? What about the laws, the ordinances, stuff like that?
No.
Why? Because they have been abolished.
Has been nailed on the cross.
Abolished then?
No, but actually it was
fulfilled.
Not abolished. It was fulfilled in what? Saying you have to love God with all your heart. That is.
No, he said nail on the cross. Nail on the cross.
But nail on the cross is fulfilled.
No.
We got
mixed up here. Okay, one more time. My question is very simple. Has the law been fulfilled or has the law been abolished? Yes.
Done away with.
Okay, I take back the word, abolished. Done away with.
You don't need
it. Okay, now we still need to keep the Ten Commandments, yeah? Okay?
Yes.
What about the, put it this way, the bylaws?
That's been done with.
Nail on the cross.
How?
Commandment.
Yeah.
But I thought Ephesians 2:15 talks about commandments. In English, I think it's especially clear in the English version. It's the commandments. Yeah? Yes. I don't think you can separate the two, can you? What is it? Okay. Go on. Okay, you think so?
Or not?
Why were we?
There are too many questions. I think I'll still stick to mine, yeah? Okay. Now, all right, to make it easier, okay, I want you to come back to Matthew first, 5, yeah? Matthew 5. All right, Matthew 5. Okay, if I ask you a question, because this question has been asked to me, posed to me quite a few times, okay? Okay? Now, the law here in chapter 5, verse 17, does it include the Ten Commandments? Does it include the Ten Commandments? Does it include the Ten Commandments?
It's not capital L.
Capital L. No. That is law. The law or the prophets, I think it refers to the Old Testament scriptures. It's a representation for the Old Testament scriptures. The law and the prophets. Yeah. Okay. I think we are talking about verse 18. The law passed from the law till all is fulfilled. What is this law? Does it include the Ten Commandments? Forget about verse 17, yeah? Read verse 18, the law. Does it include I think this verse 17 is the classification of the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures. Yeah. The law, the prophets. Sometimes the Bible just used the law as the Old Testament scriptures. Sometimes the Bible used the law, the prophet, and the Psalms. Right, that's the classification of the scriptures. All right. Now I think verse 18. Okay. My concern is with verse 18. Yes. So you are saying that it includes the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
Now here we have got two groups here. One group say no Ten Commandments. One group say yes. So, sister, your point is?
My point is that it's not just the keeping of the commandments, because this young man, he kept all ten of your neighbors.
So, but sister, my question is, does the law include the Ten Commandments? That's my
I think so, okay.
Thank you very much. We come back to the question. Sorry. I'm very slow up here, so I cannot figure out too many questions at one time. Okay. So what do you think? Okay, now some of you said, yeah, law, like apart from the ten, yeah, you say all the bylaws easier, okay? Bylaws or includes the ordinances, stuff like that, testimony, you know. You say this one, what? Has been fulfilled? And this one, what do you say? Has been abolished. Yeah? How do you explain it? No, hang on, one by one. How do you explain it? Okay, now, before we go on, I just lead you, okay? Does it include the law? Does the law include this two set of commandments? Make it easier, okay? Say that these are two set of laws. Does it include all these two sets? No. Yes or no? Does the law include the Ten Commandments and the bylaws?
First, I think you have to make clear whether it's from God or it's man-made. Because ten is God wrote with
his own hand, but the bylaws are man-made. From the ten, man just keep divided, multiplied. Sister, I think this one is God-inspired, because these are the words from Jesus. Okay. No, more ordinances, testimonies. Yeah. Okay. Okay, sorry. Just the bylaws. But here it talks about a fulfillment of the bylaws. Verse 18. Okay, I'll try to answer it. I'll try. Okay. Now, I think we must have the courage to believe that, yeah? The law here includes both. Right? Don't worry about it, just say both. Okay? Now, when you look at the first covenant, yeah? Covenant. Right? The first covenant and the new covenant. Yeah? This one is Jeremiah 31. Actually, there's no difference, to be honest. There is no difference. What is the... There's only one difference, actually. One difference. Okay? And we see that this one, the foundation of the first covenant is also the law. Yeah, it's law. And the second covenant, if you read it carefully, is also based on the law. Right? We can turn to that. Even in the New Testament. New covenant. We turn to Jeremiah. It's not like some of the denominations said the new covenant is different from the first. Actually, it's not true. And we read chapter 31. Chapter 31, verse 31. Yeah. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers. In that day I took them to the land to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was husband to them, says the Lord. Now I want you to pay attention to verse 33. I think that is important. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law. The law is still there. Can you see? Yeah? I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be a God and they shall be my people. So we see that the foundation has never been changed. The law is still there. The law. Yeah? Now what is the difference between these two covenants? What is the difference? We know that the first one here is outward. Yeah? Why is outward? Because it's on tablet of stones. It's outward. That's why they were guided from outside. Yeah? Now in the New Testament, the law is different. Why? Because by the coming of the Spirit, the law will be put into the heart. Meaning that you are given the strength to keep the law. To keep the law. Yeah? Now of course, with the understanding that, okay, after you accepted Christ, that's why Paul says the law should all the more be enhanced. Should all the more be enhanced. You do not nullify the law. Okay? Now, we know that the center of the law is the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments. And after that, we see that there's stipulation of law. Why? To enforce the keeping of the Ten Commandments. Just like the Sabbath Commandments, yeah? Later on, you can see different regulations being enacted to enforce the keeping of the Sabbath Commandments. Alright? Now, today, if you can keep the law from within your heart, we see that all these bylaws will no longer needed. Just like I have a child now, yeah? I have a kid. When she is young, I tell her, look, you must study hard. That's my command. But she refuses to listen. So what can I do? I have to enforce. Do it. So study. Okay? Now, as she grows older, yeah? She understands my commands very clearly. She understands my command very clearly. Why? Because the command is in the heart already. So naturally, all this will no longer require. Okay? This is the first explanation. Right? I'm coming to that, yeah? Okay. Now, the second point is, you see that if you read the scriptures, yeah? The Bible says the Old Testament point to Jesus Christ. Point to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a substance, yeah? And all these are like what? Shadow, yeah? When the substance has come, obviously, you don't need the shadow anymore. In this light, it's like a kind of fulfillment. It's like a kind of fulfillment. Now, the other point is, okay, when you are able to keep the law in your heart through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that in itself is a kind of fulfillment. Fulfillment. Right? You fill it up. Keep it in your heart. You will not violate it anymore. Okay? So, as far as I'm concerned, this is how I explain it. I said today we still need to keep the Ten Commandments. The law here in Matthew includes both sets of law. Put it this way, yeah? Now, today we don't need to keep the bylaw, not because it has been nailed on the cross. I don't believe in that. It has not been nailed on the cross. Okay, we shall come to those passages. Okay, we shall come to those passages later on. So, the Ten Commandments, okay, ten, yeah? Now today, if you have the power to keep it from within the heart, that in itself is a kind of fulfillment, right? Fulfillment. To me, that's a fulfillment. Because you don't violate it anymore. Why? Because you are given the power to do it. Now the rest of the bylaw in this light is no longer needed because the law is in your heart already. Okay? Now the second explanation, as I mentioned, I just want to clarify, just to repeat myself, right? Now Jesus is the essence, the shadow. Right? Now the essence has already come. Okay? Therefore, this one will naturally be fulfilled in this essence. You have seen the essence. It's like a kind of fulfillment. You've seen the essence already. Yeah, I think there are a few verses, isn't it? We turn to Hebrews. It's in Hebrews. Chapter. Where is the verse? Chapter. Where is the verse that says the substance has come? What is it? Chapter where? My memory is not very good. Ten one, yeah. Okay. Is it 10:1? 11:1. Is it 11:1? No, this is talking about the faith. Thank you very much. You passed your exam. You don't need to sit for any test. That's why when I ask you a question, answer it quickly, then you pass. Okay? Otherwise, you have to sit for another test. Okay? Is this the one? Prayer image, the sacrifice which they offer continually. Okay. I think there's another one, yeah? We can. I think you can read, chapter 2 of Colossians 17. Talking about festival or new moons or Sabbath, which are shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ Jesus. Yeah. What does it mean? You're testing me again. I don't know. I don't know the answer. Okay.
What is the law of righteousness?
Here it's not talking about the law of righteousness. It's a law for righteousness. Yes.
What is the law?
Can I come back to that question? Yeah. I'll try. But you remind me, yeah, please. Remind me, yeah. I'll come back to that. So now this is how I answer the questions. Okay, I will not say the law has been abolished. There's no way you can find the scriptures which says that the law has been abolished. Can you find me a passage? For those who believe that the law has been abolished, can you find me a passage? Where can you find it?
Can you explain Ephesians 2:15?
No. Please answer my question. Don't ask me another question. Okay. 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 Chapter 2, verse 15, yeah? Does it talk about the abolition of the law? Does it talk about it? I don't think so. Does it talk about it? There's no way near, huh? Does it talk about that? But we shall come to these two passages, as I mentioned here. The other one is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, 15 and 16, and the other one is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. We shall come to that. But before we touch on those questions, I want to ask a question. Can you find a passage which says that the law has been abolished?
No.
No, thank you very much. To me, okay, as far as I'm concerned, there's no passage in the scriptures which talk about the abolition of the law. As far as I'm concerned, I cannot find one. Maybe you can help me. I cannot find. Yes.
That means the other denominations, they confuse about fulfillment and abolition.
Because there's no abolition of law, as far as I know, in the scriptures.
They always talk about abolition.
Yes, abolition. No, I think they got mixed up as well. They said the Ten Commandments has been fulfilled, therefore you don't have to keep it. Actually, that is not the teaching of the scriptures. Yeah. I think fulfillment, you are able to do it now, you keep it. Yes. Anyone? Hey? Any verse? Concerning the abolition of the law? No. Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Now, shall we come to the two passages that you have mentioned? Colossians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. We dealt with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15 first. Okay? Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 15. Okay, we read from verse 14 to 15, yeah. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Okay? Now, I think to explain this, yeah? The key words, or the words that stands out, is enmity. Is it not so? Yeah? So Christ came to what? Abolish what? Enmity, destroy enmity. And Christ did not come to abolish the law. Can you see from these three verses? Do you get the idea now? So the key verse is what? Enmity. Can you see it? How did Jesus Christ abolish enmity? Yeah? Now, we know that in the future, all right, the Ten Commandments will be our judge. Will be our judge, yeah? Now, if I sin against God, yeah, the law of God tells me that I am a sinner. Okay? I'm a sinner. Because of what? Because of sin. Yeah? Because of sin. Now, this is enmity. Sin is the enmity. Right? Because the law tells me that I am a sinner. Okay? Now, Christ came to abolish enmity. To abolish what? To abolish sin, to destroy sin. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? So we find that in this passage, which is similar to the one in Colossians, yeah? So when my sin is removed, right? We find that the law can no longer judge me to be a sinner. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah? Therefore, I'm reconciled to God because the enmity is removed. Right? That's why the Bible says, yeah, that's why the Bible says Jesus Christ came to destroy enmity, which is contained in the commandments and ordinances, something like that. Yeah? He came to destroy sin. So when sin is removed, then we are free. That's why Paul says the law is good. We cannot say that the law is not good. We cannot say that the law only here only includes the Ten Commandments. No. The law is good. The law cannot be abolished. So what Christ has come to abolish is sin. Is sin. Enmity. Okay, I think we need to capture the words correctly. Then in this way we will not enter into what we call a discussion that will never come to an end. Okay? You get what I'm saying now? Because the Bible says the law, the word of God should judge us. Right? The word of God tells us that we are sinners. Yeah? Because of sin, we become enemies of God. Right? This is enmity. Now Christ came and removed this. The law can no longer what? Judge us to be a sinner. You see my point? Yeah? You get it now? Okay, now we come to Colossians chapter 2. Okay, chapter 2. I think this one is a bit tricky, but I'll try. Alright. Now, first of all, I think we read we read from verse 11, yeah? When you read from verse 11 here, it talks about baptism, yeah? Buried with him in baptism, verse 12, I'm sorry. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised from the dead. And it leads on, yeah? And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Pay attention to the word trespasses. Now verse 14, and having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, having nailed it to the cross, okay? Now some people take this to mean, yeah, the handwriting of requirements refers to the bylaws, which I don't agree. Right? Now if you read NKJV, right, you can see the explanation, yeah? The small lettering, can you see? Here it says, yeah, verse 14. It's the certificate of debt. The certificate of debt. Can you see? Yeah? Do you have an NKJV? Can you see it? Let me finish first. Okay? I think here it was using the analogy in the Old Testament scriptures to illustrate a point, right? Now, debts can mean sin as well in the gospel, yeah? Debts. So if you owe someone something, you are issued what? A certificate of debt, right? To remind you of your debts, basically. Okay? Now, with this understanding, the certificate, the handwritten requirements of whatever, we see that as long as these debts are not cancelled, right, you are always liable to, one, to repay your debts. Yeah? But if you take this in the context of sin, yeah, debts, we are sinners. We are issued a certificate of debts, a certificate of debts. Now we know that from verse 12 onward, it's talking about baptism. Our sins are forgiven. When our sins are forgiven, naturally this one, certificate of debt, will no longer be required. Do you know what I'm saying? If you have paid all your debts, then this one will no longer, what? Will no longer bind on you. You know what I'm talking about? You get my point? Yeah? You know what I'm saying? To me, it's not. To me, it's not. To be honest, it's not. I have even checked the word. It's not. It's not talking about the law. I'm quite sure it's not talking about the law. It's talking about the law. Michael, what are you? This is... not you, Michael Xu. Okay, I tell you what, if you can clarify this point, yeah, then you see that the whole passage will flow. Right? You will not say that the law has been abolished. It's not true. Okay, it's talking about a certificate of debt, that has been abolished. Because this is the thing that against us. Right? As long as your debts are not paid, yeah, are not removed, you see that this thing will always stand against you. Hey, you owe me something. You look. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you owe me something. Yeah? But once your debts are paid, this one is no longer binding on you. Finished. That's it. Bye-bye. It's not talking about the law. Okay? It's not talking about the law. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Wake up. Cheer up.
Any questions? No, yeah.
Yes.
How does it link to verse 16?
Verse 16 is difficult. Anyone want to try? Okay. Can you please ask your question? How what do you mean? How does it link to verse 16? I don't think it's linked. How is it linked?
Soul, let no one judge you. So using soul.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes. What do you mean? How does it link? I'm a bit slow up here. Can you be a bit more specific? Baptism. Verse 12, yes.
Yeah. So, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, he no longer needed to face death, right?
That's why I say, when we read this passage, you need to grab some of the keywords like trespasses in verse 13. Baptism. Talking about the removing of trespasses. Okay? You know what I'm saying? Now that's why from verse 14 onwards here it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements, it's not talking about the abolition of the law. It's talking about the abolition of the certificate of debts. Right? If your trespasses are removed, then there's no need for you to be fear of the certificate of debts. You're paid. Jesus Christ has paid the debts for us. Is that not so? Yeah? That's how I look at it. Okay, I tell what, we'll come to verse 16, yeah? But before that, do you have any question from verse 12 to verse 15? Any question on that? Can you see how the passage flows now? Right.
What is verse 15?
Verse 15. I guess, having disarmed principality and powers, something to do with the air, Satan, maybe. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. I think this is the work of Christ, isn't it? To overcome death.